11:1-5. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist.
イザヤ書11章1節から5節をお読みいたします。エッサイの根株から新芽が生え、その根から若枝が出て実を結ぶ。その上に主の霊がとどまる。それは知恵と悟りの霊、はかりごとと能力の霊、死を知る知識と死を恐れる霊である。この方は死を恐れることを喜び、その目の見るところによって裁かず、その耳の聞くところによって判決を下さず、正義をもって緩めのない者を裁き、公平をもって国の貧しい者のために判決を下し、口の鞭で国を打ち、唇の息で悪者を殺す。正義はその腰の帯となり、真実はその胴の帯となる。
Good morning. How are you guys doing? I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. Well, let's pray.Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today that you could, that we could worship you, Lord. That we could come together as a community, as a church, to bless your holy name. We pray, Lord, that you would be pleased with all that we bring to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing a series called The Art of Prayer. And today I want to talk about the fear of the Lord. As we read in today's scripture passage, one passage that really stuck out to me was in 11:2. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him." And of course, this is a passage about Jesus, a prophetic passage on Jesus. And it talks about the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And it says about the fear of the Lord, he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. I don't know, some of you were here when I gave you a list on prayers. You guys remember, any of you guys remember that? And it was an acronym called Fellowship, and each letter had something to remind us about prayer. The first one is F, and it's about the fear of the Lord. And every day, for myself, practically every day, I pray that. That's one of the first things I pray when I pray, is I pray, Father, would you give me the fear of the Lord? And I continue on a little bit about that, the fear of the Lord. But that's an important thing to pray. To pray for the fear of the Lord. Now, I know fear is oftentimes portrayed as a negative emotion to be avoided for good reasons. Fear can move us to do things we normally wouldn't do. I remember, I love basketball. Anybody watch basketball? All right, good. Wayne, me and you, we could talk. All right, so Wayne, when I used to play basketball, Wayne, when the game would get really intense, I remember my feet, my legs would literally shake. Some players, when it gets too stressful and fear grips them, they don't play as well as they can. In basketball terms or in sports term, we have a term for it. It's called they choke. Yeah, they choke. You don't want to be a choker in sports. It's not a good thing to be. But then there are other players who go the other way. They're clutch. They're called clutch when it's a stressful, fearful moment in the game and they actually do well, better than they can do, normally play, and they're called clutch. So fear, though, is oftentimes something we want to get rid of. It's interesting that Jesus here, when it talks about Jesus here, it says, the fear of the Lord will be on him, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He would embrace it. He would welcome it. And that's something I pray every day for myself. I pray, Father, would you give me the fear of the Lord? And it's because the scripture talks about the fear of the Lord and its many beneficial attributes to having the fear of the Lord. Just to give you a few, it says in Proverbs 23:17-18, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off." The greatest benefit of having fear and the fear of the Lord is there is a future hope. For some of you young people, I can include myself with young people, even though I'm 36. Wow. But for us young people, it's hard to think about anything past 50, maybe. I don't even think of 50. Even though I'm pretty close to 50. I'm closer to 50 than I'd like to think. But a future hope, meaning way beyond 50. In fact, way beyond 100. Way beyond 500, way beyond 1,000. The fear of the Lord gives you a hope that goes beyond this world. Other scripture passages that talks about the benefits of the fear of the Lord, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's Proverbs 9:10. It says, the fear of the Lord adds length to your life. The fear of the Lord helps people walk uprightly. The fear of the Lord has a secure fortress. For their children, it will be a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. And through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. And through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. When it comes to fear, I know it's more of a would say a natural emotion. But when it's placed in the right place, there are great benefits to it, like the passages I read. And that's one of the reasons why I pray it every day. And I encourage you, in the art of prayer, practically, I encourage you, if you want to grow in prayer, to pray, Father, would you give me the fear of the Lord? Amen? I think I need to pray again. Let me pray again. Let's start over. Let's pray. And then let's go back to the first. Let's pray though. Dear Heavenly Father, we invite you into this presence. We invite you into this place. We ask for more of your presence. We ask, Father, for an increase of your presence. We pray, Lord, that you would be glorified. That we would bless your name, and that you would bless us, Lord, with even more of your presence in our lives. I pray, Father, for the fear of the Lord to come upon each and every one of us. May it strike our hearts. May it move us to wisdom. May it move us to hope. May it move us, Lord, to seek you. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's start this again. How are you guys doing? You guys doing okay?
Great.
All right. Amen. I seriously feel like, what the heck is going on? I feel like I'm in a bad dream right now. So help me out. I know some of us are really depressed because the Wildcats lost. Arizona lost. And, you know, yesterday it should have been U of A playing against the other Wildcats, the Kentucky team. And it should have been the U of A winning. Amen? All right, see, I'm talking about basketball, and I get a lot of amens. I love basketball. Yeah, tomorrow, Monday night, it's NCAA Finals. Dog and cat fight is against the Kentucky Wildcats against the UConn Huskies. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Anyway, today I want to talk about the fear of the Lord. I don't know if you guys ever heard a sermon about the fear of the Lord. I don't know if you ever pray to have the fear of the Lord. You guys ever pray that prayer? No? It's a good prayer to pray. Because in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5, it talks about, this is a prophetic utterance about Jesus. Let me read that again. Isaiah chapter 11. By the way, if you ever see in Scripture the sevenfold Spirit of God, some people think it's a reference to this passage because it talks about seven spirits on Jesus. It says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. You guys might not know who Jesse is. Jesse is the father of King David. And it's out of King David's line the Messiah would come out. And it's the Messiah that we believe as Christian is Jesus. Anyways, it says, from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. And then it says, the Spirit of the Lord will be upon him, will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Most of us, when it comes to fear, we don't delight in fear. In fact, it's an emotion we often try to avoid, right? So if you play sports, say basketball, you don't want to have fear grip you. If you're speaking and preaching, you don't want fear to grip you. If you're trying to ask a person out on a date, you don't want fear to grip you, right? I gotta wipe my nose. Excuse me. I don't have. The reason why is when fear grips us, it moves us to do stuff we're normally not accustomed to do, right? I remember in high school, the high school boys aren't here, but I remember in high school asking a girl out to prom. Oh man. Wow, look at that. I need money. No, okay, alright. I'll take the tissue. I need my taxes done. Any takers? Okay, no. But I remember in high school, it was about this time. And they always say, if you're going to ask a girl out to prom, you got to give her time, right? Right, ladies? Why? I really don't know why. No, I know why. Because girls, for some reason, they need like 2 month notice so they could find a dress. Something like that. Is that the only reason?
Longer.
They need longer, right. Yeah, so I remember it was about this time and prom was coming up. And it was the most awkward conversation on the phone ever, just because fear gripped my heart. And it was like the first time, it wasn't the first time I asked a girl out, but it was, you know, it's not like I was accustomed to asking girls out. Fear gripped me, and I felt really stupid. But I'm sure fear has gripped you in ways as well. where you feel like, I want to avoid that feeling, or I don't want to feel that way ever again, or fear is not good. Fear, though, I believe, is just a natural emotion, a response to danger, but in the right place can be very beneficial. Fear in the right place can be very beneficial. And in Scripture, there's passages about fear, and specifically the fear of the Lord that has great benefits to us. Not just spiritually, not just after I die, but benefits here on earth as well. It talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom in Proverbs 1:7. In Proverbs 9:10, it talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's basically making right decisions, right choices. It says the fear of the Lord helps one walk uprightly. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. And it says about Jesus, he embraced the fear of the Lord. I encourage you, if you don't know what to pray for this one thing every day. This is on top of my prayer list. I pray, Lord, would you give me the fear of you? Would you give me the fear of the Lord? And would you allow me to embrace it and put my fear in the right place? And the Bible also talks about the fear of the Lord, a person is kept safe, but the fear of man will bring a snare. Fear in the wrong place can be dangerous. And just like I gave you an example about basketball, there are some players that are gripped with fear, and when that happens, they're not able to play well. Or some people are gripped with fear when they drive, and they're not able to drive well. And you fill in the blank. The Proverbs is clear in Proverbs 29:25. It says, the fear of man, fear of humans, will prove to be your snare. It will trap you. It will keep you locked up. It will prevent you from fulfilling some of the purposes in your life. It'll keep you lonely. It'll keep you angry. It'll bind you in hatred. I like what one person said. It says, the long-term effect of fear can be more devastating than the short-term. We are all what we practice to be. If you practice baseball every day, you'll probably become a good baseball player. If you practice carpentry every day, you'll become a good carpenter. If you practice being righteous every day, you will become righteous. If you practice fear, and specifically in the form of anger, every day, you will become a fearful and angry person. People who often train themselves to perpetuate these negative behaviors, there are times when this behavior has been practiced for so long that the person is unaware that they have a problem with fear and anger. It becomes their practiced behavior for dealing with any challenges. And I'd like to propose that when we have the fear of humans, the fear of man, oftentimes it comes out in anger, in hatred. And we lash out at other people. It manifests itself by lashing out at other people in hatred and anger. Usually it lashes out to other people that we care about. It'd be great if it would lash out to people we don't care about. But it oftentimes affects those closest to us and the most we love. And it pushes them away even further. That's what I believe it means when Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man will prove to be a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. You know, oftentimes, one of the biggest fights I have with my wife is the fear of losing faith. Does that make sense? As a Japanese person, one of the biggest things that we hate is to lose faith. And so when something happens, rather than fearing what God might think, or rather than putting my fear in God, I put a lot of weight in what other people might think or say. But when that happens, I lash out at my wife. Or I lash out at my brothers or my friends or people I'm close with. And the Bible warns us about this. The Bible says, okay, fear is an emotion. It's probably an emotion that is a byproduct of the fall. But nonetheless, it's an emotion that we all have. Now we have a choice of where we could put that fear. And if we don't intentionally put it in the right place, it has the power to destroy our lives. And so again, I encourage you, if you never prayed, Lord, I want to fear you, I encourage you to pray that. I pray that every day. Let me tell you, just because I pray it every day doesn't mean that I'm living in it. But hopefully as I pray it every day for the next 10 years, next 20 years, next 30 years, when it's time for me to meet the Lord, I will have the fear of the Lord in my life. I will look more like Jesus than I did today. Because that's what it is to be Christian, is it not? Is to look like Jesus. Is to look more and more like Jesus, whom we call Lord and Savior. In connecting this with the art of prayer, our prayer life can often reveal it reflects our inmost fear. So if all you're praying for is, and don't get me wrong, I pray this all the time, but if all you're praying for are selfish prayers, Lord, I need a new car. Lord, I want a bigger house. Lord, don't get me wrong, those things aren't bad to pray for. I do pray for those things. I don't pray for a big house. But, I mean, there's nothing wrong praying about those things. But if that's all you're praying about, it might reflect that your fear is in the wrong place. You care more about what other people think than what God thinks. And when you care more about what other people think than what God thinks, it will prove to be a snare. Again, sin is destructive, and it will destroy your life. It will cut your life short, and the life you have, if this grips your life, will be a life not worth living. But the Bible says, when you put the fear of the Lord in your life, then you have a life that avoids evil. You have a life that looks like wisdom. You have a life that looks like life. And that is what Jesus came to give. Life to the fullest. I want to clarify what it means to fear the Lord, though. In 1 John, it says something that seems very contradictory. 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. I want to say that the fear of the Lord isn't just about fearing His wrath. Although, it's proper to fear His wrath. And I think when we see God face to face, and when the veil of this world is taken away, and we can see into the spiritual realm, and when we meet God as the judge, there will be a fear of God that we have never experienced in this life. But it isn't just about fearing His wrath. I believe the fear of the Lord must be understood in the light of His perfect love. In fact, John says, perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. And it's proper to fear His wrath, but His punishment, once we enter into a covenant relationship with God, is taken away. Amen. Once we ask Jesus into our lives, there is no more fear of condemnation. Amen. There is no more fear of shame. There is no more fear of Him shunning us. There is no more fear of His wrath and punishment as Christians. And so what does it mean to fear the Lord then in a covenant relationship? I've heard it said this way. There are some of you, when I mean a covenant relationship, I think the best example of a covenant relationship is if you're married to someone. And so with my wife, I have a covenant relationship with her. She's not here today, so I don't get any brownie points for saying I love my wife. So there's no ulterior motive in saying that, because I get no brownie points. But I love my wife, and I'm in a covenant relationship with her, and there's a healthy fear I have of her. That fear isn't that she's going to punch me. Although, in our sleep, she has kicked me before. And I've actually have punched her in my sleep before. I don't know what that's saying about us. You guys want to hear the story? It's the weirdest thing. I was sleeping next to her, and in my sleep, I don't know why, but I started punching her in slow motion. It wasn't a real fast punch. It was just like this. And I kind of woke up, and she woke up at the same time, and she saw my fist coming, and it hit her right in the face. She didn't come out with a shiner, thank God. But the fear I have of my wife and the fear my wife has of me isn't that we're going to beat each other up. It's not that kind of punishment. The reason why I don't do certain things or I don't cross the line with my wife isn't a fear of punishment so much more than a fear of violating the covenant I have with her. And violating that trust. Or that relationship. There are certain things I won't say or do because I love her. Does that make sense? That there is a love between my wife and I that I would fear committing adultery. That I would fear saying something that would cause her pain. That I would fear living a certain way. Watching certain movies. I grew up non-Christian. And so, I'm very comfortable with certain words. Let's just put it that way. In fact, my brothers, they're not Christian. And, you know, they curse all the time. In fact, growing up, every other word I used were curse words. My parents, they were they didn't really discipline me in that area. And so even today, if I'm just around people and they curse, it's like, it doesn't really bother me at all. But my wife, she grew up in a very different culture. She grew up in Minnesota, a small town, and she grew up, at first she was Catholic, and then she grew up a very strong Christian home, and they live a very different life than people that grew up in Los Angeles, California. And I realized there are certain things that were okay, even as a Los Angeles, I don't know if this makes sense, but is it Los Angelian? Gosh, I forgot where I'm from. I forgot my roots. Angelinan. Oh my gosh. Gosh, I think I'm a full-on Tucsonian now. I'm nothing then. I don't even Tucsonian. Thank you, Dr. Phil. I'm a full-on Tucsonian. But there are certain things now that I don't watch. Even as an Angelinan Christian, I'd watch certain movies. Without even questioning it. These days, because of my wife, I might even avoid some PG-13 movie. It's like, it's just, she's from a different culture. But because I love her, because of the covenant relationship I have with her, and because of a certain, not a fear of punishment, but a fear of disappointing her maybe, a fear of just, again, violating what I have with her, I live a certain way. And so when we embrace the fear of the Lord, it's not so much so, oh, if I do this, then bachi ga ataru. For those of you who are not Japanese, bachi ataru is a very common phrase us Japanese people use. And it is a phrase that means I was punished by God because I did something wrong. And again, in 1 John it talks about there is no fear in love. Because perfect love casts out fear. Bachi ga ataru is not a Christian concept. I believe that when we fall in love with Christ and we put Jesus in our life and we put the fear of the Lord first, there is no more fear and punishment. But our lives reflect a covenant relationship similar to one who's in love and who has married the woman of his dream. They will do things, say things in a certain way, in a certain manner, not to violate that. And I pray and I encourage you to have that kind of relationship with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I do pray for the fear of the Lord, even now to come. Father, I pray that we would make decisions based on the fear of the Lord, based on perfect love, rather than on what other people might think, rather than on losing faith. Face. Rather than on what the world might do to us. Lord, I pray that the fear of the Lord would give us wisdom, knowledge, understanding. The fear of the Lord would transform our prayer lives. The fear of the Lord would transform our lifestyle. And what we put our values in. The fear of the Lord would change us, Lord. Transform us into the image of Christ. pray, Lord, that you would fill us and that we would embrace it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we're going to...